Hey up and welcome to the Strategy Sessions. My name is Andy Jarvis. I am the host of the show and the Strategy Director at Eximo Marketing. I do two types of podcasts. The main one, the most entertaining one, the most useful one are the ones where I interview a guest and you get to listen to them and I get to pick their brains. The slightly less useful ones are these where I review what the guest has to say. But if you're here, why not stay? It's only 20 minutes, half an hour, as I review what the guest on the previous week has said. So this week I'm talking about Daryl Fielding. Daryl, if there's a link in the show notes, if you haven't listened to that episode, it's audio only, and Daryl is fantastic. I suggested in a LinkedIn post that Daryl could well be the marketing goat, the greatest of all time. I wasn't just being offensive. Daryl's career spans Vodafone, Mondelez, independent newspapers, and Ogilvy Advertising. She's a non-exec director. She's a CEO of a charity. She's an author. I wrote a book called The Brand Book. And you might know some of her work. She was one of the architects of the Dove campaign for Real Beauty, which we'll talk about in a minute, actually, sort of very briefly. I think that campaign is one of the few campaigns you can point to that changed an entire industry. And we talk about that on the podcast. I'm not going to go over that ground too much, but I think the campaign for Real Beauty, you've got to remember when it first came out, it's 20 some years old now, but when it first came out, we were still in what you'd probably call the supermodel era. And, you know, the Hello Boys campaign, which again, if you don't know it, just Google it. It was a Wonder Bra campaign, iconic at the time, and but was kind of this sort of supermodel idea of perfection of what women needed to be. And Dove campaign for Real Beauty was real women, real curves, and just showing life how it's supposed to be. And, you know, she mentioned about getting letters from editors saying how it was disgusting and all sorts of problems with it. So it's interesting to sort of cast your mind back if you're as old as I am and you can remember that time and remember the first time you saw the campaign. But it is an interesting point that actually now when you see fast fashion brands using models of all sizes, now when you see everyone, not everyone, but lots of brands doing that sort of thing, it's like, yeah, everybody does this. It was revolutionary back then when Dove did it. And so a really interesting dive into that on the podcast. But I'm not going to talk about that actually for two reasons. One, we cover it at length in the podcast and I kind of express my views and opinions on it there. And two, I think there's two other things I want to talk about on this episode, covering what Daryl said. So I'm going to talk first of all about insights and data because that does spin off the Dove campaign. And then I'm going to talk about diversity. I think it's probably more a generic name for the topic anyway. Insights. Rory Sutherland said on this very podcast a number of weeks ago now, insights are the rocket fuel of marketing. And he is right. If you're a marketer, you've got earphones in, I want you to put your hand up if you regularly use insights and customer research to drive what you do as a marketer. Put your hand up. Put your hand up all the way. I want to be able to see it. Get that arm up in the air. Is that you? Are you walking the dog at the minute with your arm in the air, you absolute muppet? Why have you got your hand up? Nobody can see you. But I think the reality is that if we were doing that exercise right now, 98% of you would probably have your hand down. Most marketers, unless you work for big brands, don't make most of their decisions based out of customer research and insights. It just doesn't happen. Even, I dare say, some of the biggest brands around do the big picture insight, which maybe drives the ad, the TV commercials and all that sort of stuff, or maybe the new position. But a lot of the day-to-day stuff is kind of built out of skill, expertise, gut feel, whatever you want to call it. You know, there's a lot of gaps between doing that research, and there's good reason for that. You know, a lot of research costs a lot of money to do. Nobody wakes up in marketing with nothing to do. You know, so I wish I had more to do, and I wish I had loads of time before I needed to launch this new campaign, or before we would go into summer fashion being launched, or before we start discounting for this time of year, or whatever the rationale is. Nobody's really got the time, and if you're going to do research properly, as I would see it, and you're going to start off with qualitative research and focus groups and talking to customers and watching how they use your product, review all that, analyze the data, use it to feed into a quant, much bigger bit of a survey then, and then analyze that data and feed it into what you're going to do. I mean, that's lovely. It's fantastic. And I love getting involved in that sort of thing. But the reality is, 3 months have just elapsed while you go through all of that that I've just talked about. And fairly significant budget that is likely to, depending on how you do it. But the reality is you're probably going to be looking at a budget of 20 grand plus, really. I mean, I'm pulling figures out because it's a massive it depends moment. Obviously, you can do it for less, you can do it for more, but you've got to spend a lot of money to do that. So most marketers just do what they believe is the next best thing. They look at the data that they get from social media and from Google. They use their experience in the marketplace. They come up with campaigns. One of the reasons I believe that a lot of companies try and recruit from people within the same industry is that you buy some of those shortcuts, you buy some of that hard-won expertise and insights. So, industry insight, I should say, so that you can make some of those shortcuts. And it's fantastic. But I worry about that, actually. I believe that as an industry, when we are a very strange industry, marketers generally are very middle class, fairly young generally. I saw a stat that something 83%, maybe 80% of people who work in marketing agencies are under 40, which, you know, for youth-focused products, great. But for products focused at the over 40s, not so great. As Daryl said, she says, I'm not a believer that you have to be a 60-year-old to market to 60-year-olds, but you have to have the empathy and the understanding to be, and which often is driven by research and insight. So if you're just going to use gut feel to make it go faster, then we've got a bit of a problem there. So I think there needs to be a better way. I think we need to find a quick and dirty, for want of a better phrase, ways of being able to capture insight that can help us make slightly better decisions. I think there's probably somewhere between the gold standard of, you know, qual driving quant and kind of the big piece of research and something more between, well, not doing any research at all, checking the analytics and hoping that past performance equals what we might need in the future, that big gap and then the gold standard. I think we probably need something in the middle of that and a way of turning it around quick and a way of reaching a lot of people. So I think more marketers need to do more research. It's a bigger problem. I think it comes out of university. I've got an undergrad, a postgrad in marketing. I've done the mini MBA, Mark Ritson, and teach at a couple of universities as well. And very, very little of all that formal academic education and even the programs I teach on is based around research methods. And even when I've been taught research methods, those research methods are how to do the research you need to do to pass your dissertation. And in my case, I did a lot of interviews and focused a lot on that. You know, ask me to analyze the statistical significance of a survey, and I'm like, maybe we should call an expert. So, you know, it's hard to get that skill unless you've got that skill, unless you've been fortunate enough to work with someone who's done it, as I have, and work on those sorts of campaigns. So it can be tricky. It really can be tricky when you don't have the skill to say, give us a ton of budget for something that I'm not entirely sure of what I'm doing. That's going to take 3 months and slow everything down. I get that. But I think that if we're going to start to build more campaigns, the reason the Dove campaign worked isn't because Daryl's a genius, even though she is. It didn't work because the creative was excellent, even though it is. And it didn't work because the media budget was massive, even though it was. It worked because the insight behind the campaign was absolutely spot on. That's why the campaign worked. It worked because they asked the right questions and they got the right answer out of it. And they looked at the right data points. And that some of the information that they found about the rise in poor body image in teenage girls and how women feel about themselves and things like that came was very much research-driven and led the whole Dove Beauty thing. So, and that campaign has won endless awards from endless places and is sort of often referenced as one of the greatest campaigns of all time. Now, what is the greatest campaign of all time? Let's not get that into that debate, because it's like saying who's the greatest musician of all time. It doesn't really matter. What we know is that people talk about this Dove campaign regularly because it's still running in a recognizable form to what you'd have seen 20, 25 years ago, because the insight still holds true. Right. And that's a really, really important part of it. So if you build your work out of talking to your customers, imagine that. I know that's going to go on my gravestone when I die, but we've got to start there as marketers. We are, as I say, relentlessly. The clue is in the name, marketing. We're a discipline that's about the market. We're not about your product. Nobody cares. Nobody cares what you think. Nobody cares what you did 3 years ago. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. What we should care about is what the customers think. That is what our discipline is. That is what our discipline should be about. Focus on the customer. And to do that, we have to talk to them and we have to find a way to bring their thinking and bring their ideas and their problems, should I say, sorry. We should bring their problems into what we do on a day-to-day basis. And we should look to solve them because the brands that solve them best will be the winners. That's what I think insight teaches us. So I think we need a better way. Absolutely. Can we do anything about that? If anybody has any ideas, I'd love to chat. I'm working on an idea at the minute and would love to bounce heads with people on it. That'd be great. And I think we need to find a better way to do it. But we have to find a way to do it. We have to bring more insight and more customer voice into the rooms where decisions are made as marketers. There, I've said it. And I will continue to say it probably next week and the week after and the week after. But yes, talk to your customers is probably going to be my next tattoo. But that also rolls into the second point that I wanted to talk about. And I've touched on it already a little bit about diversity. And before you sort of, I know when you mention diversity, some people go like, yes, this is what we need. And other people roll their eyes and like, oh, not more of this anymore. But look, it's really, really important. And we talked on the podcast about what does diversity really mean? Because it's not just about skin color or gender. There's a kind of a intersectionality to diversity that's really, really important. I mentioned to Daryl about Chancellors of the Exchequer. We have in the last decade, had a number of ethnic minority chancellors. Rishi Sunak's currently Prime Minister, Kwasi Kwarteng, Sajid Javid, and the fourth guy whose name I forget every single time. Him. So we've had four ethnic minority chancellors, which should, in theory, be a cause for great celebration amongst ethnic minority communities. But personally, to me, it leaves me feeling a little bit cold. Why? Well, because diversity is not just about the colour of people's skin. Kwasi Kwarteng and Rishi Sunak, both privately educated, went to private schools, went to, you know, kind of elite establishments in a very early career trajectory. That's not to criticize them for it. That's great. But that doesn't resonate with me at all as a kid from a council estate in Bradford. I have nothing in common with these two people other than we all happen to have brown skin. So it's an interesting dive into diversity talking to Daryl about this because she's absolutely on this that we need to find a better way to get more working class kids into marketing. All the stats show that marketers are over-indexing on middle class people, not just kids. We're very young as a discipline and we are not necessarily overly attractive. I think a lot of people in marketing get into it because they know someone in it and that's not necessarily ideal. So Daryl's involved with the Marketing Academy Foundation, which helps talented young people from, I think they say, the bottom 30% economically. You know, you need a definition, obviously. I just say working class kids because that's my shorthand for it. But they help working class kids get into marketing in a real way. And some of the success stories that they've had, I'm hoping to get one of their graduates onto the podcast at some point soon. And it's life transforming stuff, but it's really important to have those diverse opinions in the room. When you see shit campaigns in marketing, there are a couple of reasons. As Daryl, what's the phrase you used? Why are so many brands shit? Because excellence is hard. Absolutely. And you need to have kind of creative tension in those meetings where you talk to each other and you discuss and you disagree and, you know, you try and move things forward. But you also need different perspectives. If you think about it as a box, and this is from Matthew Saeed's Black Box Thinking, if you visualize a box in your corner, if everyone's come from the same schools and the same education system and the same backgrounds, all those people, and you've got 10 people to solve a problem, all those people are clustered in terms of how they think in one corner of that box. If you look at diversity and not just about skin color and gender, and I'm not saying they're not important, they are 100% important, but you have to look beyond that. It's not just about saying, oh, well, we've got, you know, half of the people in this group are women and we've got three of them are ethnic minorities, but they all went to the same school. You're still all clustered psychologically in the same corner. If you bring people in from different backgrounds, people who've maybe spent 30 years working somewhere else before they came into marketing, whether that's military or something else, people from different working class backgrounds, different schools, different pathways into marketing, you suddenly put people psychologically in different corners of that. And you start to see the problem in the middle of that square. in a different light because she's seeing different angles and different perspectives on it. And I would say when you see issues and problems in marketing, the main challenge is that we've not had that multi-view of the problem. We've just had a same bunch of people with a similar background looking at the problem going, yeah, that's how we challenge this. And it's not usually how you challenge that. So I think being able to have a more diverse marketing workforce is really important to how we progress as a discipline, because you stop making bad decisions. It doesn't rule out bad decisions entirely, but having the different views and opinions, but also giving them a platform to be heard as well. Just having different views and opinions, but not allowing people to speak, doesn't really help anything. And there's some interesting takeaways in the podcast that Daryl talks about. But I asked her, I said, what are the signs and the symbols of a good meeting? If you know that you're in a place where creative excellence might happen because people are, you know, not falling out in lumps, but sort of challenging each other to try and make it better. So that was a really interesting discussion point for me, and one I really enjoyed. So we're on the same page, Daryl and I, when it comes to that. And again, I talk about this all the time. I don't just invite people on the podcast who I agree with. I invite people on who I think are going to be interesting and who I can discuss and disagree with, as hopefully you noticed I did with Seth Godin when we had some differences of opinion on some various things, from a climate change to should Tesla advertise. So I, you know, it's not just about having people who agree with me. That is most definitely not. So they're kind of the main two things I wanted to discuss and take away from Daryl's episode of the podcast. The first one, how do we get better insights in there? I don't have the answer to it, but I think we should work on it. I think I am going to work on it. I'm going to find a way to make it easier for people to talk to their customers. That's going to be kind of my life's work for the next couple of years, I think. Something like that anyway. And how, when we're doing that, how do we make it better? Diversity. Again, but I don't have the answers to how you solve that. I asked the question on LinkedIn, on a LinkedIn post, how do we solve this problem of a workforce that's not diverse? Do you know how many answers I got? Not one answer. But that's okay, because it's a big, knotty problem. And if it was dead easy to solve, then everybody would have solved it already, or most people would have solved it already. But I don't have the answers. I think there are little things that we can do as organizations, which is better recruitment policies. And I'm not talking necessarily about 1, 2, 3, 4 people businesses. I'm talking about bigger companies. If you only cast your net in certain places, you're only going to catch the fish that swim in that area of the sea. And I think we need to have better recruitment that maybe looks at how do we bring people in from different backgrounds? How do we support them and nurture them, rather than just picking the most polished kids at a certain age, at, you know, 21 or whatever, and putting them through a grad scheme. That's not necessarily talent. They're kids who've been coached through exams better, as opposed to actually have the talent and the life experience to be able to bring things to life. So I don't have the answers. I think bigger companies, and they seem to be doing that, trying to cast the net a bit wider these days. But I think we've got a long way to go. I don't have the answers to that problem, unfortunately. But I do keep trying to do my little bit. I work with the enterprise to try and help them do those things and you know, reach a new generation of entrepreneurs in Northern Ireland. And what I would say is, if you have an event that is appealing and reaching underrepresented communities, then that's the sort of event that I don't charge to speak at. So if you organize an event like that, get in touch. I might be able to help in that sort of way. It's hard to do. You know, you want to put an event on to reach an underrepresented community. The economics of it soon fall over because, like, oh, right, we need sponsors, we need this, we need that, because we want to keep the ticket prices low. We want to do it for free. And all of these things suddenly become a bit of a problem. So if you are doing that sort of event, please do reach out and get in touch, because I would love to help if I can at all. That's about it, really. I'm not going to waffle on for any more of the time. I just think that Daryl said so much that was brilliant. And honestly, I wish I could play you some of the things she said off air. Sorry, I'm laughing at your own jokes here. I wish I could play you some of the things she said off air, because Daryl is one of the great storytellers. I've had some very, very, very good storytellers on this podcast recently. Rory Sutherland, Seth Godin, very different, but brilliant. And then Daryl comes up straight afterwards and is one of the greatest storytellers. Such a great career, which isn't even remotely over yet. Actually, one last thing to tell you before I go. What I found really amazing was Daryl talks about how she moved from her executive career, when she said she ran screaming from the corporate room, into a non-exec career. And she said it took her ages to find that, because it just, she said, you look at people's LinkedIn profiles and it looks perfectly manicured and this looks like an obvious choice. She was like, not a bit of it. She was like, it was just absolute chaos and carnage for a couple of years while she worked out what she wanted to do. So if one of the greatest marketers of our generation, possibly of all time, gets to a certain point in her career and goes, I still have no idea where my career is going to go, don't panic that you're sat in your job going, I don't really like this, but I'm not quite sure where to go next. Everybody's doing that. Everybody has that same problem. Focus on what you want to do, kind of get your North Star or your guiding principle or whatever it is that you want to do, what makes you happy, what you enjoy, what you have skills in. Work on those things and you'll find something that comes out of there. But I did love that somebody as fantastic as Daryl got to a point in her career and was like, I have no idea what comes next. Fantastic. Right, that's enough of me. We will be back next week with another episode. We are welcomed. Who's coming next week? Dwayne Brown's joining us from Toronto, Canada. Might be our first Canadian guest. No, that's a lie. April Dunford was. Anyway, who cares? Daryl, Dwayne is joining us and we're going to talk about strategy. We're going to talk about paid media and DTC brands. So if that sounds like your thing, tune in. It will be out next week. Thanks very much for that. I'll see you all later. As always, please do like, comment, share. It really does make a huge difference if you share this podcast with other people. That's by WhatsApp groups, social media, whatever. And if you love it, please do give us a 5-star rating because it means the world to me. Thank you.